You shall not commit adultery. What does this mean? We should fear and love God. And so we should lead a chaste and pure life in word and deed, each one loving and honoring his wife or her husband. Right? It's not just a narrow prohibition. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. What does this mean? We should fear and love God, and so we should not tell lies about our neighbor, nor betray, slander, or defame him, but should apologize for him, speak well of him, and interpret charitably all that he does. And so on. You can see how Luther is taking the Ten Commandments, turning it into an ethic for all of Christian life, and that's typical of Christian readings of the Ten Commandments. That's how you learn to read the Bible like the Church. Another note that I don't want to miss here in this smaller catechism, Luther will say this note of cheerfulness in the Ten Commandments and throughout the catechism. After you say your prayers in the Ten Commandments in the morning, you should go cheerfully to your work. Right? Or here's his summary of the Ten Commandments, and he explains why you do this fear and love God thing that you've heard now. What does all this mean? God threatens to punish all who transgress these commandments. We should therefore fear his wrath and not disobey these commandments. On the other hand, he promises grace and every blessing to all who keep them. We should therefore love him, trust him, and cheerfully do all that he's commanded. Right? Part of the Christian life. A necessary part of the Christian life is cheerfulness, because God is good and all of God's word is good for us. Likewise, in the Large Catechism begins its treatment of the first commandment, you know, thou shalt have no gods beside me, by giving a definition of God. What is a God? A God is that to which we look for all good. Right? You look to God for good things. Right? What is it to pray? It's to call upon God in every need. Right? We're always looking for God to give us stuff, and that's okay, Luther's saying. Right? We're not supposed to be unselfish. We're supposed to want stuff from God. This is sort of diametrically opposed, 180 degrees against what he was saying way back in 1516 in the lectures on Romans, where he was saying, God created all these good things, but they're all evil for us because of our sin. So instead of seeking good things, we should seek evil things. We should hate ourselves. No, no. If you want to know God, if you want to love God, seek good things from God and be cheerful. Let me mention one of my favorite parts of the Large Catechism is where Luther talks about the fourth commandment in his numbering. That's honor father and mother. Here's his comment, part of a longer comment. Every child who knows and does this, honors father and mother, has the great comfort of being able joyfully to boast in the face of all who are occupied with self-chosen works. See, this work is well-pleasing to my God in heaven. This I know for certain. Right? That's what the commandments do. They tell you, if you're doing this, then God is happy. Right? Not that this justifies you, faith alone justifies you, but if you want to know what to do to please God, you don't have to be like a monk and make up stuff. Right? Oh, how great a price all the monks and nuns would pay, says Luther, if in the exercise of their religion they could bring before God a single work done in accordance with his commandment and could say with a joyful heart in God's presence, now I know that this work is well-pleasing to thee. Right? The monks live in uncertainty. This is not fair to monks today. I don't think this is at all true of most Catholic monks today. But it was true of Luther's monastic experience, where he was constantly trying to please God by inventing one more form of spirituality, one more form of self-hatred, one more way to go beyond God's word and try to be holier than God. Here's, I think, the key contrast. This is a wonderful moment. A little bit later. Now, he's expanding the commandment to honor father and mother because he thinks that honoring father and mother means obeying all authorities, all legitimate authorities, not just your father and mother. So here he's expanding it to the housemaids and manservants. What a child owes to father and mother, says Luther, the entire household owes them likewise. Therefore, manservants and maidservants should take care not only to obey their masters and mistresses, but also to honor them as their own parents and do everything that they know is expected of them, not from compulsion and reluctantly, but gladly and cheerfully. And they should do it because it's God's commandment and is more pleasing to him than all other works. If this truth could be impressed upon the poor people, Luther comments, a servant girl would dance for joy and praise and thank God. Isn't it a wonderful thing to be able to boast to yourself, if I do my daily work, my housework faithfully. That is better than all the holiness and austere life of all the monks.